everybody understand that the work that is going to go on here for the next 45 minutes or so, 40 minutes, is important? But the work that's going on next door is more important. Astronomically, geometrically, more important. We've seen 3 kids come to know the Lord today. That's awesome. That's fantastic. That's how it's supposed to work. Welcome to Bethany Chapel. It's good to have you here today. And today you are going to see us at our best. Not the best preaching, not by a stretch of any imagination, but our best, because we send out our best. Bethany sends out her best. Today is Pat and Cindy Hughes' last Sunday with us for a while, as they are going to Poland to work with our sister assembly there in Poland. We'll soon be eating together, and we'll be sending Pat and Cindy out in Bethany style. And they will go away from us. But they will continue the work of the Lord as they have done here at Bethany. They will continue it in Poland. Now, they remain a part of Bethany. Bethany's conviction of commended workers is such that they are still a part of us. They are an arm. They are a picture of the long arm of the Lord that reaches out and touches. We must add them to our prayer list. Bethany has many commended workers, and Pat and Cindy will now be working somewhere else, but they will remain a part of us. That's for later. This is for now. What does the Lord have for us today? The book of Deuteronomy. We left the children of Israel last week as they were offering their first fruits upon entering the land. They, children of Israel, had promised to obey God, and God had promised to bless them. And they were to bring their offerings, their first fruits, some of the blessings that God had given them. And they were to bring them, and they were to place them before the Lord. They were to bring them to the altar. And then they were to do something spectacular but humbling. They were to bow down and to worship. Now today, once again, I'm not going to turn around. We're going to see how the boys do keeping up with my notes. Understanding, guys, I grew up the son of an elder who believed no notes. My daddy preached out of a Schofield Bible and believed that notes are anathema. I have lots of notes here in front of me. So, I'm still the product of my father. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16. It is around page 148 in your pew Bible. It says, the children of Israel were to follow the decrees and the laws that God had given them. But then it goes one step farther. In verse 17, it says, they were to declare their commitment to God. There's nothing wrong with standing up and saying, today, I declare my commitment to God. There's nothing wrong with that. A little Baptist, perhaps, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, and it's in Scripture. And they declared that. But for God, it's not enough. It says that they were to walk in His ways. Chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, which you all should have read this past week. If I gave a quiz, how would you pass? Tells us the narrative of the altar of Mount Abel and the pronouncement of the curses of Mount Abel, and mentions the blessings that were pronounced from Mount Gerizim. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 12, you have half of the people standing on Mount Gerizim and half of the people on Mount Abel, and the Levites leading them in shouting the blessings and the cursings of God. That had to have been awesome. The children of Israel split by tribe onto these two mountains. Talk about shout to the Lord in a loud voice, proclaiming the promises, the blessings, and also the cursings of God. If I could summarize it, go to verse 15 of chapter 27. If you were a good child, a good neighbor, a good citizen, a good parent, you were blessed by God. If you were immoral, a bad neighbor, a bad child, you were cursed by God. This meant your business, your family, your very life. Very scary. A very scary chapter to read. The New Testament tells us it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. This is a God that demands justice. This is a God that demands obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26. You don't just uphold the law. You uphold the law by carrying it out. It is not enough to God that you memorize the law. He wants you to live it. He wants you to walk it. He wants it to be attached to the very sandals, the very boots on your feet. He wants you to walk in the law. He wants you to walk in His things. He wants it to be such a daily part of your life. Memorizing Scripture certainly is important. It's something I do not do enough of. But God wants us to walk in His path. He wants to see kids saved at Bethany Chapel every Sunday. Baptisms every month. That's what God wants. Chapter 28 is a very scary chapter in Scripture. It's a long chapter. But I'd like for you to note one thing. You should have all read it. I'd like for you to note one thing. The first 14 verses are blessings that came to the children of Israel for being obedient. But the other 54 verses were curses for being disobedient. We don't like to think about that part of God. That you can fall short of His standard. With that, who can stand? Who can stand up to that? How can we attain that? Now, unfortunately, looking back through history, we know that the children of Israel fell way short many, many times and felt the curse of God time after time after time in their history. The narrative of Scripture bears this out. You can read the prophets, the history books, Kings, Chronicles, and see that Israel fell short. However, what does this mean to you and me today? What does this mean to us? Today, as you sit there in the pew at 404 President in Wheaton, Illinois, in the year 2004 of our Lord, to study the fallings of God's chosen people. Book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says that we have all fallen short. Each and every one of us. In chapter 6 of Romans, it says that the wages of sin is death. I understand I'm quoting from the King James. You must forgive me. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 5 tells you that God commendeth His love towards us. That while we were yet sinners, while you were yet short of God's glory, of His standard, He provided a way of salvation for you. And then John 3:16, perhaps the most important verse in Scripture, says that God so loved the entire world that He gave His Son, His only begotten Son for you and for me. Today, it happened 2,000 years ago, but it impacts us today, right now. I'm Irish. You can't even squint and call me Jewish. God loves us the same. That's the remarkable thing about Scripture. The wonderful part about grace is He provided through a Jewish carpenter. I love that part. The way of salvation for you and for me. Because He knew, like His chosen people, that we would fall short. And we can participate in God's glory because of that salvation. So we are not forgiven for being Americans, for living in a Christian community, a Christian country, whatever. But we can be forgiven because of God's grace extended to us by His Son. You can do that today. You can do that now. Three little ones amongst us have proclaimed that. And remember, except you become as a little child. Scripture is powerful. Now, God is still the same. Where do we stand today? Where do you and I stand? As we are held up to God's standard. God looks you in the eye this morning and says, don't just tell me what you're going to do. Understand, commitments are important. But don't just tell me what you're going to do. Show me. See, Bradford, God may have been born in Missouri. Show me. I want to see it. I want to see you live it out. Those of you who don't know, Brad and I actually grew up, he's much older than I am, but we grew up in the same sphere of influence, about 100 and a few miles apart in southeast Missouri. God wants you to show Him your love. He wants Him to show your obedience. I would like to look now in Scripture, and I'd like for you to picture the children of Israel, divided by tribe, standing half on Mount Ebal and half on Mount Gerizim. Excuse me. My asthma is bad this morning, and I have cough drop in my mouth. I'd like for you to picture that, and I thought about making you guys stand up and say these things back and forth, and I decided not to do that. But I would like, because you know how I hate to make people uncomfortable, and I do not like to embarrass anybody. Oh, speaking of which, did everybody welcome Meredith home from college? It's a gift, I'm sorry. I have about 10 or 12 pages of promises and commands in the New Testament. I sat down with my Scofield Bible and went through them this past week. There is a lot of stuff to do for you and for I that God wants us to be about. And I'm not talking about Christendom as a whole. I'm talking about Bethany Chapel right here. The 150 some odd people that call this place home for you and for me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. I don't know about you, but I'm in trouble already. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Prepare your minds for action. Set your hope fully on Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Never tire of doing what is right. Never tire. Never give up. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Hold on to the faith. Chapter 2, verse 8. Same book, 1 Timothy. Lift up holy hands in prayer. Chapter 2, verse 9. Dressed modestly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Encourage one another. Same chapter. Build each other up. Build each other up. Every day. Build one another up. Don't tear down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. That's a commitment. Fully. 100%. You're going to wear the armor. You're going to wear the uniform. Give yourself fully. That's a commitment. One of my personal favorite verses of Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:16. Study the Word of God. Do you know it? Can you find the verses? Can you find the themes? Is your Bible scribbled with notes? Study the Word of God. That's a command. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. How much time a week do we really pray? Do you spend on your knees? How often do you remember the widows amongst us? The hurting. Our commended workers. Missionaries. Do you pray for the salvation of the kids who are downstairs next door who aren't saved? Do you? I'd like to flatter myself that I'm not preaching to myself. For I am preaching to myself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Great book, Hebrews. Let us draw near to God. What's your relationship with God right now? Are you drawing near to Him, or is He like the bank? You kind of go there when you need Him. Hit the ATM on the way home. Are you really drawing near to the Lord? Same book, two verses later, verse 24. Let us, great word study. A little, which Jerry could tell us just a whole boatload about it, but those little words, let us, it's a theme throughout the book. Let us consider how we may spurn one another on towards love and good deeds. Very convicting. Have you thought about this week? Have you thought and prayed about another person at Bethany Chapel and how you can spur them on to love and good deeds? Keep hitting the mic. You said, boy, Tom Chilton got a new baby at home. How can I minister to Tom and Heather and little Sophia? How can we minister to each other? Let us consider how we can help one another towards love. Love does not come naturally. Not to knuckleheads like me. I must be taught. It comes from God. And when the Holy Spirit dwells amongst us and lives through us, then we can bless each other. We can spur one another on. Understand, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the devil does not want salvation at Bethany Chapel. He does not want us sending people out. He wants us to sit here, have our little coffee clutch, and go home. But we're impacting the world by seeing kids saved amongst us and sending people like Pat and Cindy Hughes out to impact the world. But you can as much impact the world by touching the person in the pew across from you, praying for them, spurring them on towards love and good deeds. This one's hard. Same book, chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. I leave my house every morning between 5 and 5:30. Most of the time the sun's not up. I watch a lot of sunrises over the dashboard of a pickup truck. I have between 100 and more men at my beck and call on a daily basis, who jump when I growl. Sometimes it's hard in a day-to-day life to focus on Jesus. But that's what He wants. He wants us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Carrie's sitting back there nursing a little baby. Elders quiz. Kylie. Correct? Kaylee? Kylie. You got a C+. Guarantee you that grandma right there has prayed for her salvation already. Guarantee you. That's how it works. Have you prayed for her salvation yet? I must confess, I have not, but I will not sleep till that's corrected today. Today! Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And may they never wander. I cannot think of a better time or a better place to assist you in fixing your eyes on Jesus than right here next week at 9 o'clock, be on time. When we remember once more. James chapter 4, verse 8. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Do you understand that all you have to do is say, Daddy, Father, Heavenly Father, Lord and Master, that's what I refer to Him as, and you have instant attention. Now, Abby is the most precocious of my children. She makes sure she has my attention before she finishes her statement. Because I tend to be a little distracted from time to time. When you talk to your Heavenly Father, you do not need to make sure you have His attention. You call His name, you have His attention. You have a need. A, He already knows about it, and B, you can bring it to Him. Yes, you're a sinner, but as Jerry so eloquently reminded us this morning, you are so important to Him that He sent His Son to die for you. You can tell the worth of a possession by the amount that was given for it. Jesus gave a lot for you and for me. That means we must be worth a whole bunch. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Where are you today as you sit right there? Are you near to God? Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? I wonder what would happen at Bethany Chapel if today, right now, today, we made a commitment together to draw near to God and to fix our eyes on Jesus. I wonder what God could do with Bethany Chapel. Dearest Lord and Master, we come before You, humbled by Your love, that You were willing to sacrifice so much and give so much for us. And my Father, we do not understand. Draw us close to You, my Lord. Keep us ever on a path that would honor You at this little chapel on a corner in Wheaton, Illinois. Be with my elders and my deacons and my Sunday school teachers and my club leaders, my children's church worshipers, the little kids next door, and us who call ourselves adults here. Father, may we honor You. May we seek to follow You. May we draw near to You. And may we ever, from this moment on, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. In Your Son's name.